Thanks again for coming. There's a lot more here tonight than I thought there was going to be. And I thought there was going to be three speakers. So wrong and two, wrong twice already. I'm going to just read in two places. The first is found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. When we read from the Bible, we know for a fact that that's right. We're not wrong when we read from the Bible. Acts chapter 16, and we're just going to read two verses, or actually a verse and a half. Acts 16 and verse 30, and just breaking in the last half, the question, there's a question that says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And most people probably know the background to this question. Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison after they had been severely beaten simply for preaching the word and singing hymns. And the sad fact of the matter is we don't know how long before that may happen in this our own country. But in that day, it happened, and Paul and Silas were severely beaten. They were thrown into prison. They were shackled. And the guard, he was given a very heavy job. And that was to make sure that they didn't escape. But he went to sleep on the job. And there was an earthquake. And the doors were all open and the shackles were loosed. And the earthquake obviously awakened the jailer out of his sleep. And upon awakening and seeing that the doors were all opened, he knew that that meant death for him, because he was given that heavy charge of looking after the prisoners. And if he went to sleep, which it would have been found out, and that would mean his life. So that made this question very, very earnest. And I'm just wondering tonight, if you're here and you're at that point, is this question earnest in your soul tonight? The question is, what must I do to be saved? And the answer, and it says, they said. It was a unanimous answer. One person didn't give one answer, and the other one start to say something else. And it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Pretty difficult, wasn't it? And hopefully we'll come to that again before we end. So just another short verse over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 2. And really it's the last half, or the last part of the verse again, that I want to bring before us tonight. But we'll read the whole verse. "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." And here's the part that I want to bring home tonight to each one of us. It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And that's, I think everyone here, I don't know if anyone here knows what now means or not. If you were to, anybody that has children, and you ask them to do something, to go and do something, it seems quite obvious that a lot of people don't know what now means. And, you know, I made a lot of mistakes when, you know, I think we all, I don't know if you do, but I know I do. I look back over, you know, my life, and I always say, well, you know, if I could just do that over again, knowing what I know now, how much different I would do it. And I said that to somebody one time, and they said, "Well, yeah, you might not do the same things, but you make different mistakes." Well, that was an encouragement to me. But I always figured, you know, if I had it to do over again, you know, I would do things different. Pretty, you know, I'm kind of hard on myself that way, I guess. But one thing I can say, my children, I think they knew what now meant. They might not have the first time, but they did learn at a young age, if they were asked to do something, they went and did it. And that's really what now means. It means not putting it off, or it means without delay. And that's where, in the meeting tonight, this question, behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. That just simply means without delay. Now is the only time that you can be sure of, is right now. And Bennett gave out that hymn, and I don't know what he had in mind for that second hymn. He didn't think it was number 30, was it? 130? I like to think that there's a reason for everything. And that first verse that he gave out of 130, O turn ye, for why will ye die? There's no need for anyone in the meeting tonight to die in your sins, because you are going to die, unless there is the rapture that I'm planning to mention about tonight. For those that are saved, we might actually be able to escape death, but in your sins, without salvation, you are going to die. There is an appointed time for death. O turn ye, for why will ye die, when God in great mercy is coming so nigh? The purpose of this meeting tonight is, it's already been quoted to you, is to seek the Lord, call upon him, and be saved while there is time. And Isaiah the prophet says, to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And it's never been nearer. If you're in this meeting and you heard the scriptures read, and you heard the voice of God, that means that he is near. And it's important not to put that off. Because now Jesus invites you. The Spirit says, come. And angels are waiting to welcome you home. And that's the first thing. The Spirit says, come. We sang in that hymn. And that's the first reason why now it's important to be saved. Because we read in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, in chapter 6 and verse 3, that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And now, if you're thinking of these things, if you're thinking, well, there's heaven and there's hell, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell if I'm not prepared, if you're thinking about that, that's really on point that you're being spoken to. And it's important to heed what God is saying to you and to heed the message now. Because the opportunity is not always going to be there. God said himself that my Spirit will not always strive with man. And Bennett was asking some very difficult questions, and I sympathize with him, because there's difficult questions that normal people like him and I, we can't fathom. Some can maybe fathom them a little further than others, but there comes a point where we just don't understand some of the things about God, because he is sovereign and we're finite. And when we hear about man's free will, and but yet God knows whether I was in that boat at one time. I kind of gave up when I was in my teen years. I said, well, what's the use? I've been troubled. I've tried to get saved. I've tried to believe. I just tried so many times. And finally, I said to myself, well, God knows whether I'm going to be saved or not, so I'm just going to forget about it. Well, as Bennett already said, we have choice. God has given each one of us the ability to make choices for ourselves. And that's something that no man can answer. So don't feel bad. No man can truly understand God's sovereignty and man's choice. But yet, it's true. And it's the same when it comes to when God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." That's the same principle. How can he be a just God when there may come to a point where he's not going to, where the message is not going to be for you? And that's again in God's hands. But you still have a responsibility to choose rightly. You know, when Paul, he was a great apologetic. It'll be tremendous to listen to him, maybe in some of these things. But he was a tremendous apologist, and he could talk to the magistrates and the governors like you wish when you read there in Acts there when he was before the governor there, before Felix and before Agrippa. You know, he explained to Agrippa, or well, we'll talk about Felix first, the governor. He was brought before him, and he made a defense of his position. And he told his testimony, and Felix was very interested in what he had to say. But, you know, Felix, he weighed it all up, and he made a poor choice. He said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." And I hope that's not the message of any, or the heart language of anyone in the meeting tonight. I hope you're not putting it off. Remember, it's behold now. That's the opposite of procrastination. Don't put it off. And somebody might be looking at me right now and they're saying, "Well, how come you were 20 years old?" Well, that's a good question. But the important thing is, don't look at someone else or consider someone else. It's you, and it's your soul. And if you're here tonight, just think of it's important to settle the matter now, without further delay. It would seem that Felix did not have an opportunity, again, to get saved. And I don't know that for sure, but it would seem from the scriptures that he made a fatal decision that night or that day, and he's in that place called hell. God gives everyone a final choice. I don't know, you know, we all, when we talk again about the Spirit, we don't know how that works, but God is just. And I've heard people say, as long as you're breathing, there's hope. And I like to think that's the case. But again, that's where it's so gray to finite minds. We just don't know. So it would seem that it is true that God gives everyone a final choice. And the sad part of it is, if Felix is in hell tonight, which in all probability it seems that he is, he remembers making that final choice. And then we could talk about Agrippa. We read about him in the gospel, or in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we read about King Agrippa. And Paul was brought before him. And he was charged with all these stirring up the people and causing a commotion. And again, he defended God, he defended the Bible, he defended what he was doing, and of course, as he always did, he told his testimony to him. And it would seem that Agrippa was really intent on what he had to say, and he listened intently. But we read of him also, it says, "I'll hear you again on this matter." So he considered it, and he came back, and then he said, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost." We used to sing that hymn. I don't know when was the last time I heard it sung. "Almost persuaded." and I forget the rest of the words, but the rest, it ended with almost, but lost. And that hymn used to bother me at the end of a gospel meeting, almost, but lost. I was sitting in the meeting, and I was turning this thing over, and I wasn't trying not to be saved. I was trying to be saved. But I just couldn't seem to, I just wasn't taking God at his word. And then to hear that hymn, almost, but lost. Agrippa, it would seem that he missed his opportunity, and he is in that place, in the blackness of darkness, and he remembers his final opportunity. And he said, almost. That's a sad commentary for anyone that has heard the gospel. I understand it's in weakness. I understand that. And, I sympathize with you for that. But at the same time, there's an opportunity for you tonight to just simply believe what God has to say about your sin and the sin bearer that he sent to die in your place. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And if you put it off, and how do you know? And no, there's no one knows whether tonight you might be having your final call. And if it is, your destiny will be sealed, and in that place called hell, you also will remember your final invitation, and you turned it down. It's a tremendous, eternity will never end. We can't begin to explain what eternity is, but we know that time ends, and eternity, even we say eternity begins, but eternity has no beginning or end, but you'll go into eternity when we leave this world, and your destiny will have been sealed on this side of that pillar of death that we see there on the chart. So that's one reason why now is the accepted time, because we don't know if we'll ever have another opportunity. And the other reason that I was thinking about is the Lord could come even before midnight. I can remember, I think it was David and Angela and Arlene and I, we took a road trip one year. Maybe she'll remember this better than me. But I don't know what state we're in. But we seen this huge clock. You know how they have the big signs on the side of the road, those great big signs? Well, this was a huge clock. And the time on the clock was 5 to 12. And in great big letters that you couldn't miss, it said, "The Lord is coming." And then down at the bottom of the clock, it said, "Are you prepared?" And I don't know whether that clock would still be there or not. But really, we don't know the hour when the Lord will come. We don't know when that shout will be given. But that, again, used to terrify me when, before I was saved, I would hear, I'd be sitting in the meeting and they would be preaching and talking about the coming of the Lord. And I would go home and I would be too scared to go to sleep. Because I thought in my sleep, what if the Lord comes? And many times I get up through the night, and the first thing that would come into my mind was, oh, did the Lord come? And I get up and go check, try to look into my parents' room and hopefully see them. But if it was a really dark night with no moon or no moonlight or anything, and you couldn't see in, and boy, that was scary. You couldn't see them. So you'd wait long enough till you heard a snort or a snore or something, and then you'd be satisfied and you'd go back to bed, not thinking that before I got into bed that he could still have come. So the Lord is coming. So that's why it's important to behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. And of course the other thing is death. We don't know when death is going to come in. Death is in the land, and we try to prevent death, don't we? Most of us, sometimes, especially New Year's, we either consciously or unconsciously, we'll make the good resolutions. We're going to exercise more. We're going to eat better. And we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And we're going to take this and we're going to take that. And that's good. I was just thinking, Sally made this soup for the first time today, and she said it called for jalapeno peppers, and she didn't have any, so she used something else. Jalapeno peppers are extremely hot, and you'd think they'd be bad for you, but they're actually tremendously good for your gut. It comes from the capsaicin plant, and even though they're so hot, it actually forms a protective barrier in your stomach to actually heal your stomach. It doesn't make sense, but that's its purpose. So, you know, we do these things and for the purpose of, you know, maybe feeling better or living longer. And as one comedian said, you know, you eat good, you live right, you sleep good, or you get your rest, and what happens? Well, he said, in the end, you're still going to be on your deathbed. And yes, you may be dying of nothing, but you're going to be dying. And that's the case. We can't escape death. And that's another reason to behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. So how do you get this salvation? Well, you might ask, what must I do to get salvation? What must I do to be saved? And the answer, just a few words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And sometimes you mull that over, well, it can't be that, you know, it can't be just that easy. Well, God says it. What more do you need? Paul, he said, I deliver unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again for my sins, according to the scriptures. And that's really what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you say to yourself, well, you know, is that really the right way? Is there one time there was a man, yes, a man stopped for directions. I never fell into that category. It never bothered me to ask for directions, but men have that character, I guess, sometimes. We don't like to ask for directions, but it never bothered me. Of course, now we have Google Maps, which is a great help, but the story goes about a man who stopped and asked for directions. He said, how do I get to such and such a place? And the man that was telling him, he told him the directions. And when he was finished, the man said, so is that the best way to get there? And he looked square into his face and he said, sir, that's the only way to get there. And we're here tonight. We may not be the greatest of speakers, but we've told you from God's word that there is only one way to heaven. And whether you think it's the best way or not is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what we think. God has provided the remedy through the death of his son on the cross. The work was complete. He satisfied the claims of God for my sin and for your sin. And all he's saying for us to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And when you do that, you know, it is interesting. The dealer said, what must I do? That's kind of the way that's the way we humans think. Well, what can I do? But the work is done. There's nothing I can do. And that's a hard sometimes because we like to have a little part in it. But if you're going to ever be in heaven, you have to recognize the fact that it's not anything in you. It's all in what was done. So there's nothing you can do to get salvation. And I'm going to go a step farther. There's nothing Once you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and this has already been alluded to, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. And I'm so glad of that, because as Bennett already says, we're in the flesh, we sin every day, and the thoughts is unreal, but there's nothing that we can do to lose salvation. This is a sure thing, and God says it. So we can put a 100% dependability on what he says. So with that, we'll just pray, and then we'll sing one more verse of that hymn. Our Father, we would just bow now in the name of thy Son. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel. And we do pray that our words did not complicate it. We do ask this of thee. We know that you are gracious and merciful. And we would just beseech of thee that you will look down favorably on the meeting tonight. And if it will please thee to save a soul from eternal damnation tonight and have a home in heaven when our day on this earth is over, that we will spend eternity with him. So we just pray that this might be the case in your name. Amen.